We think about giving gifts and we think about receiving gifts, and there are a lot of those kinds of things that are on your mind. You probably have a list of individuals that you're giving some consideration to about what to get them. You want to get them something that is significant. You want to get them something that really helps them, that they will appreciate. And so you're in the process of going through that. Some of you individuals are probably of that sick group that finished all your shopping March of this past year. And you enjoy going over, sitting in the mall and watching men, watching guys frantically go from store to store trying to find something that was really enjoyable for his wife. This morning I do want to think with you for a few moments about the ultimate gift and what it is and what it means. And I want you to understand this morning that the greatest gift has already been given. The ultimate gift has already been provided. And it's not something that'll just show up this year, and it's not something that is just effective for this year. It's not something that'll be effective in future years or in past years. This is the best gift that you can ever receive. It has been given by the greatest giver. This gift will meet your greatest need. And it's been given with you in mind, and it has your name on it. So this morning we want to look at five things to consider when we think about the ultimate gift. What is it? What are those characteristics of the ultimate gift? And if you'd like to follow along for a few moments, I invite you to take a Bible. There may be one in the pew in front of you. And let's turn to a familiar passage, John chapter 3, verse 16. John chapter 3, verse 16, because I want you to see the ultimate gift. I want you to understand the ultimate gift that has been given. And we find it recorded for us in John chapter 3. There are five things that we need to consider about this ultimate gift. When you consider a gift, you consider who's the giver. It's one of the big questions, isn't it? Who gave the gift? You have young children in the house and they go and they look at a gift and maybe they've been evaluating that gift and it catches their attention. One of the things if they can read is they'll look on the card to see who is it from. Because they know certain individuals are gifting challenged. And we have had some of those in our family that we have observed, and our kids know when they open this that the person's heart might really have been great, but they wonder what's its purpose. There are other individuals who know how to give gifts. Might be grandparents, might be an aunt or an uncle. And they look at it and they know from time past that because of the giver, this is going to be a good gift. My friends, we see in this particular passage that the greatest giver is God Himself. For God. The God of the universe, the Creator of the world, the God who is infinite. He has at His resources, infinite resources. He's able to do anything He chooses to do. He's never made a mistake. He's too wise to make those mistakes. He's too loving to be cruel. And the God of the universe, in fact, if you look at the original language, the article "the" is in front of the word God, so that it would read, for the God, that there is no other God. All other gods are small g's. So this God is the greatest giver. The God of the universe, the God of the world, the Creator of the world, the designer of our world. For God, the God, He's the greatest giver. There's a second consideration that we would give to an ultimate gift, and that is we would want to know the motivation for the gift, wouldn't we? Why did this person give this gift? And there are a number of different reasons why gifts are given. Sometimes it's out of obligation. Well, they're family. They may be extended family. We only hear from them once a year, but we need to give them something. Maybe it's because they're a supervisor and you think, you know, maybe I could stay on their good side if I would do this. Sometimes it's because it's reciprocal. Well, they're going to get us something. I think we need to get them something. Not exactly the greatest motivations for giving, right? Greatest motivation is what? Love. And you know that if a person has gotten a gift for you, maybe they made it, maybe they purchased it, and they did it out of love, you know it's got to be good. Because the motivation is right. And so we read here that God gave the greatest gift to you. What was His motivation? Because of love. For God, the God, did what? Loved. But notice, it isn't just loved. It's so loved. Kind of sounds a little bit like modern jargon, doesn't it? That is so not cool. And if you have some of the fashion police in your house, that just so does not match. You're not going out like that, are you? No, I would never dream. You know, you add the word so because it intensifies what follows. And in this passage, what we find intensified is the fact that God loves. A lot of individuals who look at God and think that God is this angry person who sits in heaven just waiting for us to step out of line so that He can whack us. That's not what we see in Scripture. That this God is motivated, the God of the world, the God of the universe is motivated by great love. So first we need to consider the giver of the gift, this ultimate gift, it is God. Then we need to consider the motivation. Why did God give this gift? Because He so loved. Then thirdly, we need to consider the character of the gift. And there are different kinds of gifts that are oftentimes determined by the motivation, right? That these five characteristics are really linked. Maybe you've been in one of those gift exchanges. They're called white elephant exchanges. And you know it's just a generic gift that's been given and it's sort of passed around. And I received one last year. And it was in the context of one of these things. It's a knife sharpener. I've got enough of those in my drawer. It is going to be re-gifted this year and go back into the white elephant gifting. I don't need it. It doesn't suit. It's not something that is useful. Sometimes it might be something that maybe it isn't a matter of just being a white elephant kind of gift or that kind of thing, but maybe it's a thoughtless gift. Somebody got you the gift because they felt like they had to and you wonder, what is it? How do I use it? You know, you get it and you open it up and you're a man and it says for women only and you think, you know, what were they thinking? So there are thoughtless gifts, but then there are gifts that are given with you in mind. That they thought about you. And you notice that that's what this text tells us. That God gave the very best that He could, and He gave it with you in mind. And so we read that God so loved the world that what did He give? He gave His, and you read the text, His only begotten Son. Folks, God gave to us the absolute very best. You look at the word only begotten that's used there, and there's some misunderstanding. People think, well, that means that Jesus began some point in time. That's not what the word means. The word means only one of a kind. It is used of Abraham and his relationship with Isaac as his only one of a kind son, though he had another son, Ishmael. But Isaac was the son of promise. And so God gave to us His very best. He gave to us His Son, Jesus Christ, who is also God, the second person of the Godhead. And He gave to us Jesus Christ, His only one-of-a-kind gift, the only one-of-a-kind Son. It was His very best. So God is motivated. God, the greatest giver of the world, is motivated by His love to give us the greatest gift, His Son. But then we want to know, what's the purpose of the gift? Right? What's the purpose of the gift? Some gifts are given because they have sentimental value. Maybe they're passed down. They're an heirloom and you've become old enough to have something received from maybe a great-great-great-grandmother somewhere down the pike and now it ends up in your lap and it's given to you because you're old enough now to appreciate it. Some gifts are given because they have utilitarian value. Guys, you'll probably receive some tools that because you indicated that those would be very helpful at some point in time. Warning, you may need a new vacuum cleaner at home, but don't put it under the tree with a ribbon on it and say, here, dear. It will not count. It's not one of them. It might be decorative. It might be something that you can hang someplace. You want to know what is the purpose. And so we ask, if God gave His Son, what is the reason that He gave His Son? What is the purpose that God gave His Son? And actually, we're told, and it's given to us in a negative and in a positive. First of all, it says that God gave us His Son, why? So that we wouldn't perish. Say, what does the word perish mean? Well, it involves a number of things as you read in Scripture. It involves living a futile kind of life. You know, maybe like a life that feels on a treadmill. You get up in the morning, you drink your coffee, eat your breakfast, you go out to work and you work really hard and you come home at night and you get everybody back into bed and you collapse and you pay a few bills and then you realize that you don't have enough money and you're back out to work again the next day. And it's just this continual treadmill kind of thing. It's a futile kind of way of life and you think, man, someday when I get to retirement then I'm going to really enjoy it. Which may or may not happen. God gave His Son so that we don't live life in a negative way. That we understand what life is all about. So we say, the text tells us that God gave us His Son so that we wouldn't perish. But notice the flip side. So that we would have everlasting life or eternal life. Eternal life has two characteristics to it. It deals with quantity. It deals with a life that doesn't end. That when you and I step out of this life and into whatever's on the other side, the Bible tells us that if we have accepted God's gift, it's a life that doesn't end. It's a life that is spent with Him. That's quantity. That's length. It's a life that never ends. But it also involves a quality of life. And that deals with the here and the now. Jesus put it this way. I have come to give you life and to give it to you abundantly. So that your life and mine, it doesn't mean that everything all the time goes the way we want it to go. That's not what He's talking about. But He's talking about the sense in which if we follow Christ, if we walk with Him, if we accept His gift, that there is a sense, there is a meaning, and there is a purpose. This life is preparation for the one to come, and it's lived in that manner. And it gives us a direction through some of the struggles, through some of the joys, through some of the valleys, through some of the mountains. So God gave us a gift, and the purpose of that gift is so that we wouldn't perish, but we'd have a life that's meaningful and purposeful. You know, God's gift doesn't wear out. Maybe we've received some really good gifts in the past. And I don't know about you, but some of them, you know, have been clothes and I really appreciated them, but for some reason, they just really shrunk because they just don't fit right anymore. You know, it was a great gift at the time. Or some of those things, you've used them and it's worn out. Or some of those gifts and they were a really good gift, but they're no longer useful. You've reached another stage in life. The gift that God gives will never lose its value. So first we consider the giver of the gift, that the God of the universe has given a gift. What's His motivation? Because He's so loved. What's the character of the gift? God gave His very best. He gave His Son. Why did He give His Son? So that we might have eternal life. Then we might ask, well, who's the recipient? That's important, isn't it? Who's the recipient of the gift? Who gets this gift that God chooses to give? If you've got young children and they have this idea that bigger is better. I mean, the best gift is the biggest gift, right? And come Christmas morning, you know, they go running out and they look at it and they want to know, who is it for? Is it for me? And friends, if God has given this great gift, we want to know, who's it for? You notice in the text it says, whosoever. Whoever. You are a whosoever. I am a whosoever. That whosoever believes in Him. It has your name on it. This gift, the Son, Jesus Christ, has your name on this great gift. Designed to give you a quality and a quantity to life. And it never wears out. It's a gift that is ageless. It doesn't make any difference if you're 7 or 70 or 80 or 90. It's a gift that is classless. It doesn't make any difference what your social standing is. It's a gift that is raceless. It doesn't make any difference what your race might be. It is a gift that is nationless. It doesn't make any difference what nation of the world you happen to be in. It is genderless. It doesn't make any difference whether you're a boy or girl, man or woman. This gift is for you. The greatest gift. The ultimate gift that has ever been given by the greatest giver in all the world with the greatest motivation. You see, that's really neat. But dear friends, you know and I know that for any gift to be useful, we must do what? Receive it. We must accept it. You can have the best tool that you need that's under the tree and been purchased for you and you've been waiting for it, but if you don't go and get it and use it, it is useless. The same thing is true. What
Notice what the text says, that whosoever believes in Him will not perish but have life. How do you receive this gift? By believing in what Jesus did. You say, what does that mean? It means understanding that Jesus Christ came into our world. That's what we celebrate at this point. That God sent Jesus. Jesus was willing to come. Jesus offered Himself. And He died on a cross to pay the debt that we owe God. The wages of sin is death, the Bible tells us. None of us are born in this world in a relationship with God. We're born apart. And we have a tremendous debt that we owe God. And Jesus has come into our world and He died on a cross and He rose again to prove that it was sufficient. And He also demonstrates that there is resurrection, that whosoever believes can have their debt marked, paid in full. And God transfers you out of darkness and into light, out of perishing into everlasting life. Because we look and we say, I'm trusting what Jesus did. Friends, belief, I'm not referring to something like belief in Santa Claus or belief in reindeer or belief in Christian magic, Christmas magic. I'm talking about a personal faith and trust where you say, when I stand before God and He asks me, why should my debt be canceled? And we would say, because I've trusted what Jesus has done. I've accepted that gift. I know it was for me. It had my name on it. For God so loved the world that He gave His only one-of-a-kind Son, that whosoever believes in Him will never perish but have life everlasting. The greatest gift by the greatest giver with the greatest motivation for the greatest purpose. Let's pray together. Father, the ultimate gift we need to be reminded about is we look around us and we enjoy the giving and receiving of gifts and the thoughtfulness that is put into those. We want to appreciate those, but Father, we need to make sure that we don't forget, we don't miss out, that the greatest gift that has ever been given has already been given, it's been provided. That You are the greatest giver. Motivated by deep love for us, even when we weren't even thinking about You. When we weren't living life with any thought of who You are or what You've done or what Jesus accomplished for us. You sent Him to do that which we couldn't do for ourselves. The greatest purpose was to provide eternal life. And Father, the recipient is us, to think that the God of the universe loved each one of us so much that He was willing to provide the greatest gift for our greatest need. Father, we need to be reminded of that at this time of year, of why Jesus really came, of what Christmas is all about. Father, I pray if there's someone here who's not yet accepted that gift, who's not yet received it, who's not yet trusted in what Jesus has done, that might be challenged to think through that the God of the world loves them so much, has offered them the ultimate gift. Real life found in the person of Christ. It's in His name we pray. Amen.